Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
And we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So we're preparing for some sort of Arctic blast. So hopefully the weather doesn't get like it did last week or the week before when we had to split the show up into two parts?
It was last week.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
We were so close to making it to the end of the show, and then Mother Nature said, nope.
Yep.
You're gonna have to split the show into two parts.
So we'll see what happens this week. Hopefully Mother Nature holds out long enough for me to get both of these podcasts out tonight, but we'll see.
It's supposed to be like a low of 22 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Which is insane.
And people make fun of us down here, but that's a bone chilling cold, man, because we're like so humid down here. Like it sucks in the summertime, and then when it gets cold like that, it's like you feel it in your soul, man. It's like it's awful.
I remember 10 years ago there was a flood here that wiped out a decent amount of streets here in town, and leading up to that we had what was probably the coldest winter that I can remember, because I would walk outside and my bones would hurt. Like, that's how cold it was.
Yeah. You can actually bring your mic down just a little bit more. You're coming a little hot tonight.
Coming in hot. How's that?
Checkaroo. Just another hair.
All right. Going down. Just another hair. Like that much of a hair?
Yeah, I think that's good right there.
Okay. All right. Maybe drop it down just a hair more, just to be safe.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I had an interview for my show last week, and I had to jack up the audio on my end, so didn't change it back for the show, but that's all right.
So we've been playing anything this week other than Mario RPG? I've been up neck deep in I've been neck deep in Sea of Stars is what I've been playing the last week.
Yeah, you were telling me the other day that's your game of the year so far.
So far. And, I know it's early in the year, but I'm close to 20 hours in at this point. So we'll see what it's like towards the end of the year. But I don't know. I'm really digging it.
Yeah, I do want to try it out at some point. For the most part, just been playing Mario RPG, been playing a little bit of Harvest Moon, but I've kind of slacked off on that a little bit. I need to get back into playing Sonic Superstars. I mentioned I got that for Christmas, but haven't delved into it a ton. And then once that's done, I might get Super Mario Wonder and give that a try, because I've heard, you know, nothing but good things about that. I mean, it's like an old school Mario game, or plays like an old school Mario game. So yeah. What's not to like?
I think after I'm done with Sea of Stars, I think I'm going to move on to a Starfield. So I've heard a lot of good stuff about that, and I'm going to make good use of my Game Pass this year.
So you're moving your stars from the sea to the field.
Yep, from the sea to the field.
At some point you should do like back to back reviews, and we'll call that from the sea to the field series.
I dig it. anything else you want to talk about? Because we got a lot of news to cover tonight.
Yeah, we do. Let's just dive right into it.
All right, let's do it. Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by Armez Jackson and I Am the Rampage. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story comes from TheVerge.com. Hyperkin has made a handheld Sega Genesis that plays original carts. The Mega 95 is a new gaming handheld from Hyperkin that's designed to play original Sega Genesis and Mega Drive cartridges. It's equipped with a 5-inch display that has a toggle to switch between 4:3 and 16:9 modes, and a battery that Hyperkin says should last 10 hours per charge. Think of it like a modern take on the Genesis Nomad with roughly 3 times the battery life and other modern conveniences. What do you think about this? This thing looks awesome, and I would love to have this.
I read about this a few days ago, and it's only $60.
That's it. Oh, yeah. I'm just now seeing that. It retails for $59.99. That's insanely low.
I think I'm going to have to get one.
I'm going to have to get one, too. I thought this thing would be like $100 at least.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, it looks really cool. The screen is sharp. We're going to get flack for this, but it kind of reminds me of the Switch a little bit as far as its layout goes. But I mean, if you look at it, it does. And the fact that it plays physical cartridges, that gives me a reason to buy Genesis games.
Same. I was just thinking that same thing.
So it says here, even though it's designed primarily as a handheld system, there's also a USB-C dock available that'll let you plug it into a TV. Ooh. And which features ports to plug in additional controllers.
This might be worth the pickup.
That's pretty cool. Oh, they have a Super Nintendo emulation machine, too.
Yeah.
That sells for $120.
Well, hold on. It says, here's the thing. The Hyperkin's Mega Retron HD gaming console now sells for $59.99. This new Mega 95, the pricing or release date has yet to be announced. But the handheld Super NES emulation machine currently sells for $119.99. So I imagine this is going to be roughly the same.
I mean, still, I figured it would be more than that.
Yeah.
For $120, I mean, that's when you compare it to, you know, the PS5 and the Xbox and the Switch, that's pretty good.
And James in the chat room says, feels like it's going to be tough to sell given the flood of emulators out there, but will appeal to cartridge collectors. And yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I would buy it, is because I want to be able to play cartridges on it.
Yeah. It gives me a reason, like I said, to buy Genesis games. Mm-hmm. So I think if it's around the same as the Super Nintendo, I will probably get it.
Yeah.
At some point. Let's see. This next story comes to us from Inverse.com. This handheld crams all of Atari's OG controllers into one device. Just when we thought gaming handhelds were starting to all look the same, My Arcade gives us a retro twist for the fast-growing market. During CES 2024, My Arcade teased its Atari GameStation Portable that's officially licensed by the iconic video game company. It's not your typical handheld design with just a standard D-pad and ABXY buttons, since it includes 3 of Atari's most popular controllers, the trackball, paddle, and keypad. It announced a bunch of official Atari gear at CES 2024, building on last year's release of its Atari GameStation Pro. Atari may not be releasing any AAA titles, but it still knows how to capitalize on that nostalgia. The company even released a remake of its own with the 2600 Plus, staying true to the original wood panel design that takes cartridges. I feel like every other week we're talking about Atari and they're like they're doing something different. But this does look pretty cool. You know, the fact that they've incorporated their classic controllers into one handheld. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and it's got that very 70s color scheme to it, too. I kind of dig it, but man, I hated Atari controllers. The only thing that, you know, and they don't really do this, but trackballs. Like, why was there never a peripheral made for trackball games? Like, being able to play, like, how many... Oh my God, there was like a Missile Command and Tempest, like all those games that had a trackball had to be played with, you know, like you can't really get that same arcade experience at home without the trackball.
Yeah, and I'm probably not going to get this, honestly, because I wasn't into Atari. That was a bit before my time. I just think it's cool that they're getting their name back out there.
Yeah.
And the GameStation Portable is set to come out in the fourth quarter of this year for $150.
It seems like all these little handhelds are running between, you know, $125 and $150. So that seems pretty standard these days.
Yeah, that's about what I would expect. I mean, if you're an Atari fan, I would say it's probably worth getting, but I will probably save my money for the Genesis and possibly the Super Nintendo thing we talked about.
And this is from digitaltrends.com. An AI company may have just leaked the Nintendo Switch 2's name and release month. As part of the ongoing wave of AI-related news at CES 2024, Altec Lansing revealed an artificial intelligence-powered successor to Game Shark called AI Shark. More interestingly, the press release regarded this software claims that the Nintendo Switch 2 will launch in September 2024. The quote in the press release said, "The innovative gaming software is set to mark a significant leap forward in the gaming experience, bringing enhanced gameplay for beginner-level users. The official launch is planned to coincide with the Nintendo Switch 2 in September 2024. So they may have just accidentally slipped up and put something out there they weren't supposed to.
I should have zipped their lips and locked them up and threw away the key.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm surprised that it would come out that early. I know we were both thinking of more of like the holiday release, maybe like an early to mid-November.
Yeah.
If it's going to be just called the Switch 2, I got to be honest, I think that's kind of lame.
Yeah, I like Super Switch. They just need to call it the Super Switch.
Scott Johnson said it on Twitter, and I totally agree with him. I will only acknowledge it as the Super Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It would be perfect. It would be a great throwback to one of your best consoles you ever did. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, PlayStation gets away with it because they've been doing it since they started. Like, yeah, we think of it as the PS5. That's just what Sony does.
Yeah.
Microsoft comes up with different names for their variations of the Xbox. Why not Super Switch or Super Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, just that. It just sounds good, the Super Switch. I like it. It sounds good, rolls off the tongue. Better than Switch 2 or whatever.
You could do some
calling it.
You could even do some great marketing. Like, you could do some cool throwback commercials. Because you remember the old Super Nintendo commercials where it would end with the SNES logo with all the lightning in the background saying, "Now you're playing with superpower."
Yeah.
Do something like that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Throwback. Give us some throwback Nintendo commercials.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people like Nintendo for the most is the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Why not take it one step farther with the marketing?
Yeah, put out like when you buy the Switch, put out an old school poster, like the ones you used to get when you bought Nintendo games.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it's got like all the like old school poster like that. That would be awesome.
But what do we know?
Yeah.
We're just average Joes.
Yeah.
Next up, we have from our favorite site, NintendoLife.com, three more Sega classics are being revived. and apparently 10 have been greenlit already. Last year at the Game Awards, Sega dropped one of the most exciting announcements of the show, revealing new games were in development for select classic franchises. In the same announcement, it teased there was even more to come. Now, in an update, Insider Gamer claims around 10 Sega classics were greenlit for production between 2020 and 2021. While 5 have already been confirmed, the site has now been told by its sources that projects for Panzer Dragoon, Neon Genesis Evangelion, I'm probably getting that wrong, someone will correct me, but and Sakura Taizen are in the early stages of development as well. Gematsu also recently highlighted how Sega filed trademarks for multiple other series, including Alex Kidd, Afterburner, House of the Dead, Outrun, Super Monkey Ball, Altered Beast, Eternal Champions, and Kid Chameleon. Of course, the original games revealed were Jet Set Radio, Crazy Taxi, Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, and Shinobi. So what do you think? Sega's digging back into the well.
I mean, that's awesome. I'm ready for anything Sega wants to bring back and revive. I remember Panzer Dragoon. I don't remember these other two, Neon Genesis Evangelion, I guess that's how you say it, and Sakura
Evangelion,
Tyson.
Maybe?
Yeah. I don't remember either of these games, but I do remember Panzer Dragoon. And who isn't ready to play some more Crazy Taxi? That's the one I'm most ready for.
I think both you and I are in the same boat with that. Like, I loved the original Crazy Taxi. It was so fun to play, and we've been overdue for a new Crazy Taxi.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Jet Set Radio was pretty fun. Streets of Rage, I haven't dabbled into too much, but I know that'll be a really popular one. Any of the other trademarks they've filed for, you know, like Altered Beast, I know that's a notable game for Sega, even though I personally didn't really care for it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do a follow-up that's much better, or maybe they'll kind of tweak the original.
Yeah.
Who knows? There's so many avenues they could go down with this.
Because that was the original pack-in game for the Sega Genesis, was Altered Beast. But I tried playing it on my Genesis Mini, and yeah, it's going to need a lot of work to make it into a good game.
It's just
modernized.
Boring.
Yeah, there's not much to it. It's just didn't really capture my imagination.
No, it did not.
And for this last story, this is a pretty big story that happened. two more stories.
We got two more.
Second to last. This is from NintendoLife.com, and this is weird how we reviewed this last week, and then all of a sudden we're getting Rocket Knight news all over the place. But from NintendoLife.com, Konami is bringing back Rocket Knight Adventures and Felix the Cat. Limited Run Games and Konami have teamed up to bring back two classic series from the Japanese developers' back catalog, Felix the Cat and Rocket Knight Adventures. Felix the Cat will contain the 1992 NES original and the 93 Game Boy Adventure, while Rocket Knight Adventures Resparked will include Rocket Knight Adventures, Sparkster, Rocket Knight Adventures 2, and the SNES exclusive spinoff Sparkster. A release date hasn't been announced for either collection, but we know they're coming to the Switch. And I just found it kind of weird that, like, we did the review last week, and then it was like the next day it was like, hey, we're bringing Rocket Knight back. And I was like, wow, that's odd timing.
I have a theory on that, actually. I'm convinced that someone from Konami was watching live and they said, you know what? We could bring Rocket Knight back. Let's fast track it.
Yeah, it's time. So, I mean, it's just weird because, you know, you never really hear of a game and then we do something with it. And then, like, the next day there's, like, news about it. And it's like, what is that's weird.
That is very weird timing. But at the same time, you know, that's really cool. Because I'm curious about the spinoff and the sequel now that we've played the original.
Yeah.
And I never played Felix the Cat. I remember watching the cartoons, but I never played any of the Felix games.
I didn't either. I'm excited to maybe place the... because, you know, I talked about I played a little bit of Sparkster for the Super Nintendo, so I might actually pick up the Rocket Knight Adventures collection, because I really like that game and I just want to play the other ones. Like, I didn't even know that there was a part two.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, but I think if I were to pick up one as well, it would be Rocket Knight.
Yeah.
Our last story comes to us from pushsquare.com. PS1 veteran Shuji Utsumi appointed Sega's new Western boss. He's been appointed president/COO and CEO of Sega America and Europe, top billing in Western markets. So he's going to be quite busy. The reshuffling was announced by Sega Sammy, the parent company of both the Sega and Sammy corporations, which, of course, manufacture the legendary pachinko machines.
Of course.
Utsumi has an impressive list of credits to his name. Of particular interest, he was instrumental in founding Sony Computer Entertainment and helping launch the PlayStation in North America. He's produced dozens of games and launched the Sega Dreamcast outside of Japan. He's also said to have been vital in making Kingdom Hearts happen, having worked to bridge the gap between Square Enix and Disney in the early 2000s. It's an exciting shakeup, and a newly resurgent Sega has an exciting slate of games to look forward to. If I remember right, I think he was executive producer on some of the modern Sonic games as well.
Hmm. Well, I mean, this news is kind of... makes me think, what does Sega have up their sleeve? Because this is a huge get for them. Like, this dude has got some major accomplishments under his belt. And you don't just bring somebody in like this just to kind of coast. Like, you've got to have a lot of things in play coming up soon. So this might sound crazy, and I know I'll get picked on for this, but do you think
I wonder if you're going to ask me the same question.
Do you think Sega might be making another console?
I mean, the way I look at it is this. I agree with you. All the moves they're making and them appointing, you know, someone of Utsumi's caliber, it can't just be for games.
I know. That's the thing. Like, they've already got all the games coming. That was in the works before he came on. But they'd be crazy to put out a console in this market, wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's the thing that, like, the optimist in me says it would be really cool for Sega to come back with a console, but the realist in me says I don't think it would be a very good idea financially. But it's got us talking.
Yeah.
So they've accomplished part of their goal, at least.
I mean, they've got the name recognition that if they did come out with a console, I think curiosity alone would sell 5 million units at least. Especially, it might not be a full-on console like an Xbox or anything, but maybe a hybrid console like the Switch or something handheld. I mean, who knows?
Could be. This, I think, might be the most fascinating story to me for 2024. Like, more so than Atari. Like, what is Sega up to?
Yeah.
Like, are they just going to blindside us with some kind of console announcement later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, 6 months from now, what are we going to be talking about from Sega? Because, I mean, they've been making some moves. Along with Atari, Sega and Atari are, like, coming up from the rear. You know, like, they've been in the pit stop, you know, pit row or whatever for the last 20 years, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, Atari and Sega are back on the track.
They're like, to use a Nintendo reference, when you're playing Mario Kart and you get knocked down to eighth place, and you're making that last push on the final lap to try and get back in first. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, they got hit with the blue shell a long time ago. So I don't know what they have up their sleeve, but this is a huge move for them. Because like I said, this dude's got some notches on the belt of things he's done. You don't bring a guy in like this just to have him just go, things stay like they are. Like, they've got to be planning something.
One thing I can say for sure, I'm really excited to see what Sega does. You know, it may end up disappointing us, But they've got the buzz, and that's half the battle.
But I can't think that they would be coming out with a new console, but you never know. I mean,
yeah, from a realistic and a logical standpoint, I don't think it's a smart idea. But man, it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, they work so well with Nintendo now, you know, like to crank back up into the console market would, I don't know, not anger Nintendo, because, you know, they're a company, they don't get angry, but that might, you know, because they have Sonic, like, in all the, you know, he's pretty much a Nintendo character at this point. And would it fracture all that goodwill that Sega has with Nintendo? Like, what's going to happen if they did announce a console?
If they do, I'm sure we'll be doing a breaking news podcast about it.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, personally.
And before we go into the next segment, we are proudly sponsored by our mobile game partner, Globe Glider. And if you like action adventure platformers, I can't talk tonight, platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. And it's totally free. There's no, like, transactions in the game or anything like that. It's a completely free game. You just play it. But if you want to make a donation to the game, you can use our partnership, and it's very quick and easy. You hit the donate button and select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner, and you will unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider now on the App Store or Google Play. And we got a couple of minutes. Let's burn through this month of video game history real quick. Let's get there. On January 31st of 1992, Quintet and Enix released Soul Blazer for the SNES in Japan.
The spiritual prequel to one of my favorite RPGs for the Super Nintendo, Illusion of Gaia. I reviewed Soul Blazer a while back on the show. It's not a bad RPG, but it's pretty bare bones. If you're curious about it, I do recommend it. It's not a bad game. Just don't expect a lot from it.
Yeah.
January 21st of 1998, Capcom releases one of your favorites, Resident Evil 2, for the PlayStation.
Those were the days. I remember, oh man, that game was something else when it came out. I was so excited for that game. I wish they would do another remake of it. If they literally did another remake of that game, I would play it again in a heartbeat.
What would you call it?
Resident Evil 2 Remake.
I love it. January 4th of 2001, I'm going to get this wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and apologize. Jagex releases RuneScape. The game has over 300 million accounts created and was recognized by the Guinness World Records as the largest and most updated free MMORPG.
I've never played RuneScape, but I've seen people play it before.
Yeah, I know how popular it is, but I've never played it. I've never really been into the MMO games because I know that I have an addictive personality.
Yeah.
And if I get into one, you won't hear from me for a while. Yeah,
I really got into World of Warcraft, and originally I liked City of Heroes and City of Villains. And I don't know if you could hear me and Joey screaming last week because they actually, NCSoft, I think that's their name, actually gave their blessing to a fan-run server that's still going right now for City of Heroes, and gave them the green light and the okay to keep it going, and they're not going to mess with them about it.
Take note, Nintendo.
Yeah, hear that, Nintendo? That's how you make people happy. January 29th of 2004, Game Freak releases Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green for the Game Boy Advance in Japan.
Which was the remakes of the original Pokemon games that came out, because the games were Red and Blue in the US, but in Japan they were Red and Green, Why they changed the color, I have no idea.
Every freaking week, there's a Pokemon, you know, fire engine, orange sunset, and like Pokemon blue ocean pickles, and like that. There's a two games that got dropped every week for like 30 years, and I don't know how you guys keep up with it.
Well, it's not as confusing as Final Fantasy.
Well, yeah, maybe. It's up there.
if Final Fantasy's here, Pokemon's like just under it.
A close second.
A close second, yeah. Yeah, they're the ones that like are a turn short in getting first place in Mario Kart.
Yep. Before we go into the review for tonight, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout-outs?
Of course. As always, we want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on our Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B. Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, of course, better known as I Am the Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course, last but not least,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond, absolutely. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. For as little as $1 a month, you get early access to our monthly bonus episodes. Have you recovered just a little bit from the holiday special?
I'm getting there. We gotta talk about what we're gonna do this month. I say we do something easy and something that we love, like real Ghostbusters or something to cleanse the palate that was the Star Wars holiday special.
So no Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
No, that we gotta wait on that one. That's
I don't know if. Well, I mean, if we made it through the holiday special, we can make it through anything. But
yeah,
Mortal Kombat Annihilation is pretty bad. Yeah, we're already like halfway through January. It's insane. So yeah, we've only got a couple more weeks. So we'll figure something out. But we've got plenty of episodes in the archives between Batman the Animated Series, Real Ghostbusters, full-length movies like Batman 89, Transformers the Movie. The list is near endless on what we've done. So if you want to head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro to sign up, feel free to do so. And for new patrons, send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And tonight, Derek is going to be talking about very lovely little rendition of the original Super Mario music. I dig it.
I know, right? This whole soundtrack for this game was incredible, but we'll get to that here in a bit. So, of course, I'm going to be reviewing the Super Mario RPG remake for the Nintendo Switch. which is a remake of the 1996 Super Nintendo Entertainment System game Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars. The remake was released on November 17th worldwide this past year. And the game's soundtrack, which you just heard a little bit about, was actually composed by the composer for the original game, Yoko Shimomura. And I was stoked when I heard that she was coming back, because the Mario RPG soundtrack, the original one, it's one of my favorite soundtracks for any Super Nintendo game. And she did a masterful job with this. It sounds fully orchestrated, and it really puts a more modernized and honestly like a more fun twist on every song that's in the game.
And if you look at her Wikipedia page and all the stuff that she, all the video games that she's done music for, it's insane. Like, you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Like, it's insane how many soundtracks she's done.
Yeah, it's between Super Smash Brothers. She's done a ton of the other Mario games, like the Mario and Luigi series. She's, you may not know her name, but you definitely know her work. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Koji Kondo a lot, and rightfully so, because he composed a lot of the more iconic Nintendo themes, but she has a great resume under herself. So I was really, really excited when they dropped the trailer for this. I think it was earlier this year in one of the Nintendo Directs. Mm-hmm. This being one of my favorite Super Nintendo games, you know, my expectations were high, because I'm like, they can't really screw it up, because it was already a great game unto itself. You go back and you look at the original game, the graphics are kind of ugly. You know, they look very pixelated. Everything's very simple, because it's in 3D, which is kind of weird for it being a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, and it's weird. So, like, you look back at that original game, and it's almost like they were using polygons and not pixels.
And it came out towards the end of the Super Nintendo's lifespan, because if I remember right, the Nintendo 64 came out later that year. So they were really pushing the limits for the Super Nintendo. So I had been counting down the days, and I have watched a little bit of footage, but I wanted to go in this game with a completely open mind to see, you know, what kind of changes were made, if there were any improvements, if there were any additions. And from the very beginning, when you hear the soundtrack to the opening cutscene, it's just, it draws you in, because it's this fun, upbeat, catchy song. You see the improved graphics, which I think are perfect for what this game is. The game looks smooth. It's very bright and animated. I have no complaints about the look of the game. You know, it looks cartoonish. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you look at Mario in any of the cutscenes, he has no neck, which is kind of which is kind of funny. But it's like a modern cartoon as far as how I look at it. Like, if you look on, you know, Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, you see like the computer animated shows. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. And what's cool is that there were no cutscenes. Well, there are, but they don't really stand out as cutscenes in the original game. The remake has a select few cinematic style cutscenes, especially the opening, whenever Peach is, you know, in the flower field outside of Mario's house, and Bowser swoops in on his clown car and kidnaps her, and Mario comes out and does his, you know, heroic leap and whatnot. And from there, you just kind of dive right into the game.
Yeah, because I only played a little bit of the original. I never played it back then when it first came out. I played a little bit of it on the Switch when it came out on the Super Nintendo Online. It is turn-based combat, which kind of turned me off at the time. I was like, I don't really want to play turn-based combat with Mario. But now that I've been playing Sea of Stars the last couple of weeks, I'm really digging turn-based combat. So I think I might slide right into Super Mario RPG when I'm done with that. Because my Switch, I forgot to tell everybody, I got my new controllers in the other day, and my Switch is back to life, baby.
It's alive!
It's alive!
But yeah, you're correct. It is a turn-based game. And I was curious as to, because I haven't really played a turn-based RPG in a long time. And I have a love-hate relationship with it. Like, I accept it for what it is, but it's not really my favorite style of combat. I prefer more of, like, the Secret of Mana style, where you're just in an open field and enemies come up and you attack.
Yeah.
But they do have some cool additions to the combat in the remake. So something that was cool in the original is that right before you would get attacked, you could try and block your enemy's attack. Mm-hmm. And it would either reduce the damage you would take or you wouldn't take any damage at all. Mm-hmm. They add this little... it's almost like a word balloon from a comic book, but it's like a little exclamation point that'll come up above your character when you're supposed to hit the block button. Mm-hmm. And it distracted me at first because it was like, from muscle memory, I knew when to do it. But them telling me how to do it was throwing me off, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, Sea of Stars is kind of like that, too. Like, when you're fighting something and it's the enemy's turn to hit you. Like they do, it's like a time thing where you can block their attack where you get way less. It hits for way less if you can block something, and like say an enemy will come up and they'll tap on the ground twice before they hit you, so that you have time to kind of time it to hit. And I've gotten really used to it, and I don't know, just something about playing a game with that kind of turn-based combat is very relaxing, and not like a twitch-based, you know, not like you're playing Arkham Asylum, you know, where you're just like constantly beating the hell out of everything. It's like you actually have time to kind of sit, think about what you're going to do, which character you want to move, and what moves you want to do. And I find it kind of relaxing, and I've never felt that way before about, you know, turn-based games.
I'm sure it probably has a little less anxiety than Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. James, the chat room asked you, how many hours of gameplay do you think it runs? He never played the original.
That's a good question. I beat it, I'd say between 10 to 12 hours.
That's not bad.
It's a pretty straightforward RPG. And for those that don't know what the game is about, the story focuses on Mario and a set of familiar characters and original characters created specifically for the game, who try to defeat the Smithy Gang, who invade the Mushroom Kingdom. At the beginning of the game, you fight Bowser in order to get Princess Peach back. Well, during the fight, this giant sword comes from space and lands in Bowser's castle, throwing everybody in different directions. When you find out that the person piloting, or the thing piloting the sword, is a character named Smithy, who's trying to take over, you know, pretty much the entire universe. Well, he splits what's called the Star Road into seven pieces, and the Star Road grants wishes to anyone who, like, you know, wishes upon shooting stars and whatnot. So as long as the Star Road is out of commission, no wishes will be granted. So the purpose of the game is to find the seven star pieces and restore it.
You know, when familiar you character. To, when you try to explain the plot of Mario games, you sound like you're on acid. like the original Mario games, like, well, you go around, you stomp turtles, and you get stars that make you invincible, and then you go into the sewer and you fight a big dragon to save a princess.
I need, you know, that GIF from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the guy with the with the strings around the wrapped around the board, and he's just like, yeah, that's how I feel right now. But you meet different characters along the way to add to your party. So the characters that people already know are Bowser and Peach. What was cool about this game when it came out is it was one of the few times that you actually got to play as Bowser. Because he wants to get his castle back. So he's like, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So he joins up with you.
Yeah.
And there are two new characters, one named Mallow, who at the beginning of the game says he's a tadpole, but he's not. He was raised by the Frog Sage, which is another change that they made in the, I'll get to my point here in a second. Okay. So one of the areas you go to, I think it's called Tadpole Pond, where you find this Frog Sage, which he's almost kind of like the Yoda of the game, if you will. If you don't know where to go, you can go talk to him and he'll tell you where to go. But he's like just, you know, the wise, all-knowing kind of mentor character. There's a whole backstory with Mallow that I won't get into because I could go on and on about the story, but we'd be here till like 8 o'clock.
See, they should have added an Easter egg in the game where Bowser starts singing Peaches. Peaches.
Oh my God. That would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome.
The other original character is named Geno, who is actually one of the more popular characters in the Mario universe. Geno is originally from the Star Road. His real form is he's just like a little baby star, but he inhabits the body of a doll that looks kind of like a wizard, but is actually one of the coolest characters in the game. He has some of the coolest attacks. He's really cool. I'll put it that way. So for your party, you can only have three members of the five that actually can attack enemies. What they added in the remake is this thing called triple attacks, which are basically the three come together and they do like a special move. Mm-hmm. Once your gauge fills up to 100. And what's cool is the attacks are different depending on who's in your party. So there's one, it's when you have Mario, Mallow, and Bowser in your party, the three of them jump in Bowser's clown car, fly up in the sky, and just rain down lightning bolts, fireballs, and then at the end, Bowser shoots this giant bullet bill onto the field. It looks like a freaking Dragon Ball Z attack.
That's awesome.
But it's really cool. So that was a nice addition. I did feel like not so much that they dumbed down the game in the beginning, but I felt like they held my hand a little too much. And maybe it's because I played the original, but with the original, you kind of got brief instructions on what to do, and then you had to figure the rest of it out as you went along.
I was going to ask, was the original that way, or did they specifically do that for the remake?
I think they specifically did it for the remake. Which I get, but I felt like it made the game a little too easy in the beginning.
Yeah.
But once you advance, if you don't have the blocking mastered down, you get some serious hit points taken away from you if you get attacked.
Can you
so
switch
you
out?
Really got to learn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you really got to learn how to properly block. Otherwise, the rest of the game is going to be pretty long for you.
Yeah. Can you switch out characters on the fly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you couldn't do that in the original. You had to wait until you were like out in the hub world in order to switch your party. Mm. But if, like, say somebody dies, then you can swap them out. Or if you just feel like swapping them out, you can. The only person you can't switch out is Mario.
Okay.
Mario has to be in the battlefield at all times.
Yeah, because in Sea of Stars, it's kind of like that, because you have your two main characters that you go on your adventure. So you kind of pick which one of those you as your party leader, the one that you directly control, you know, at first all the time. And then the third character, like the more people you get in your party, everybody's with you while you're out adventuring, but only three of you can fight at one time. So that third character, like say you get your third character gets hit and is almost dead, you can switch them out to another character that you have in the party.
Okay. That's pretty cool. The something I wish they would have added, maybe for like the second playthrough, whenever you fight Smithy, that's like the one fight where you can have all five members of your party, because there's a cutscene, because Smithy comes in two forms. When you fight his second form, you see like all five characters as if they're going to fight him. And then when you go in the battle, it's just three of them. So I'm like, man, that would have been cool if,
yeah,
just for that fight alone, you could have had all five. But my favorite addition to this game, and it's something that has been a critique of mine with these RPGs, is that once you're done, like, you're pretty much done. Like, there's no real reason to go back and play it.
Yeah.
Once you beat the game, you have to go to one of the towns called Marymore, and they have this, it's like a luxury hotel, and you have to stay in the luxury room, because you get, like, free stuff if you stay in it. And then that triggers a series of events where you can end up having rematches with some of the bosses throughout the game. And the rematches are insanely hard.
Really?
So there's a character named Booster that you fight about the halfway point of the game. You go back to his tower and you fight him again. And the way that, what were those things called? They were similar to Shy Guys in Mario Brothers 2. They looked like Shy Guys, but they had like a cannon.
Yeah.
On the Sniffets is what they were called.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I was trying to think I never knew what they were called.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're called Sniffets. There's three of them and Booster. Well, during the battle, Booster is like working on something. If you hit him, then, you know, it distracts him. But if you don't, he finishes repairing his train. And if he hits you with the train, it's an instant kill for your entire party.
Wow. That's nuts.
So, yeah. And there's and all the boss fights have this like little edge to them that make them insanely hard. And I'm like, you know what? This is frustrating, but kudos, Nintendo, because you added a cool feature.
So it's kind of like an old school RPG where it's kind of on rails. Like, there's not really any kind of like open world map to it or anything, is there?
There is. So it's like you can select where you want to go. Like, the map is divided into different sections. And once you, like, say, go to the Mushroom Kingdom, you're there, and then you can go into, like, you know, an item shop or an inn or Peach's Castle. But there's not like a giant overworld, no.
See, and I would have thought that, you know, being the Super Mario RPG and it being on the Switch and being a remake, I would have thought they would have made it way bigger, you know, and make it like a 20 to 25 hour adventure. Because, I mean, even though 13, 14 hours is not that short, it still seems kind of short for an RPG, though.
I was hoping that they would have added maybe at least another section to the map to add a little more playtime into it.
And it said, like you had talked about the cutscenes, and it said that they're now pre-rendered videos instead of in-game scenes. And have been giving increasingly more dynamic camera angles. Bosses have short scenes before the battles begin. Like, you would have thought there'd have been a little more cut scenes in there, too. Because, you know, I mean, they're Nintendo. They can add cut scenes and stuff in there and make them look really cool and compelling to just to flesh out the story a little more, you know?
I did think that was kind of weird that only certain moments had cinematic cutscenes, and then the rest of it just played out like it did in the original game.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting choice, but, you know, it didn't take away from my overall enjoyment of the game. But I will say Nintendo should really look into remaking more of their classic RPGs. If they do, they got to give them the same care and detail that they gave this one, because everything from capturing the same humor, adding the cutscenes, the graphics are gorgeous, the score was perfect. You got to put in that kind of detail if you're going to remake some of your classics.
Yeah.
So I said this not last week, but when we did our 2023 recap show, had Tears of the Kingdom not come out, this would have been my game of the year for 2023.
Yeah.
I know I have the sentimental attachment to it, but I couldn't put it down the day that I got it, because I love that world. I wish they would have done a true sequel to it. I like the Paper Mario games. The Mario and Luigi RPG games are fun, but this is still the best one.
Well, maybe,
in my opinion,
maybe if it does well enough, I don't know what the numbers are as far as how many they've sold so far, but if it does well, I don't see why they couldn't still do a sequel to it.
Hopefully so. I will say, like, I have very, very little to complain about this game. I would have liked to have seen more cutscenes, like we talked about, maybe some additional worlds or areas to the map. But I love this game. My second favorite game of 2023. So I would give this, I'd say I'll give it a 9.5.
Nice. That's a good, almost perfection.
Yep. Minus those couple of things, I love this game. If you played the original and you haven't checked out the remake, run out and get it, because you will love it.
And I think since you're in the mode for RPGs of this style, I think you really should give Sea of Stars a try, because I'm about 20 hours in, and from what I read, that game's about 25 to 27 hours. So I probably will do that as my next review, is Sea of Stars.
Okay.
But before my next review, next week we're going to be talking about our top five multiplayer games. So get those to us before next week. You can email them to us, nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. You can go on our Discord under the top five submission tab. Any way you need to, we'll get it and we'll read them on the show. So top five multiplayer games for next week.
I can't wait. That's going to be a really fun top five.
I haven't even written my list yet, because I don't know. I have so many multiplayer games that I like.
I know my top two. It'll just be figuring out 3 through 5.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see before next week.
Yeah.
Also want to let everybody know too, that for the month of January, you have what, 2 more weeks left. If you use our code NCR at checkout at brezcoffeeco.com, our code will get you 15% off as opposed to the usual 10. So if you want to get 15% off your order, go to brezcoffeeco.com, use our code NCR at checkout. Before we go, Derek, what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
So I had one of the most fun interviews that I've done in a while. It's with an actor named Tom Gallup. He played a pretty notable role in 2 of the 4 Bourne movies with Matt Damon. You might remember the Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy movies. He was also in a lot of TV shows back in the 90s, between Home Improvement, Step by Step, Party of Five, Will and Grace. He was also on Seinfeld. Hmm. If you name a notable show in the 90s, he was probably on it. And now he runs a chocolate shop in Beverly Hills.
Nice.
So we had a really fun chat. He actually did the interview from like the storage room of his shop. So it was really fun. That'll actually be out tomorrow. So if you're watching live or you're listening to this as soon as it drops, that'll be out tomorrow. Go to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast to subscribe.
Does he kill children in horrible ways in his candy shop, like a certain Wonka character?
if I end up going to LA next month, I will try and find out firsthand.
And go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. We've had so many good guests lately. And also at the end of this month, we got Derek coming back on for Headliners, where we talk about all the crazy headlines of the month. So go follow us over there at openmicers.com. And Derek, I think that's it. Is that everything for this week?
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That takes you everywhere you need to go on our socials, our Patreon, our merch shop. If you don't want to be a patron, but you want to give us some money, say, good job, fellas. We got like a Cash App and a PayPal button up there. You can give us money. If you want to buy some stuff, go to ncrmerch.com. That we got t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. You can... The best thing you can do for us, if you don't have the money, go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. And Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Peaches, 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 peaches.
That's actually on beat.
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut-flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce-flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.